Transform your Christian school culture through the flourishing journey with Dr. Edward Bunn, ACSI Professional Development Director.
Welcome to the Flourishing Journey podcast. I'm Dr. Edward Bunn, and I will serve as your travel guide throughout this podcast series. We'll explore strategies and principles for building a school culture that truly thrives. Each month, we'll take a brief pit stop centering around a relevant, flourishing construct as together we journey into the world of ideas, research, and practice. Well, hello, flourishing practitioners. Today, we're taking a final pit stop to extend our thinking around the flourishing construct of professional development. Specifically, we're going to focus on developing a culture of professional development. You know, recently I reread a great article on PD by Dr. Lynn Swanner, and two aspects stood out in relation to today's talk. First, coherence, most frequently described as PD alignment within a school. And the second part that stood out was collective participation. It's that grouping of teachers who work together for PD activities. So with this in mind, I'm excited to have special guest Billy Hutchinson as we talk about current processes and outcomes related to professional development. Billy Hutchinson serves as the Dean of Academics at Hickory Grove Christian School in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he has taught courses in philosophy, worldview, and apologetics. He graduated from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte with a BA in history and completed his MDiv in Christian Apologetics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He also works with the Colson Center for Christian Worldview as a content creator for their Colson Educators platform. Well, welcome, Billy. Good to have you today.
Hey, Edward. It's great to be with you and the viewers as well.
Awesome. Well, I just want to kind of jump into our discussion today. A couple of great questions around developing a culture of professional development. So as we consider this type of culture in our schools, you know, how do you decide what's important and most relevant to focus on for professional development?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as we think through that here at Hickory Grove, we kind of put things in three buckets, and they're not always equal. And we kind of, there's going to be a lot of overlap with them. But number one, we want to look at our institutional needs. You know, one of the things with professional development that you can run into is it's not often tailored to your school. This is why that the school-based professional development program that you guys offer is so good, because we're going to have different institutional needs than a school in, you know, upstate New York or out west or something like that. So we look at those institutional needs. Let me give you an example. So a couple of years ago, coming out of COVID, we knew we have a lot of new students that are coming from a public school, and depending upon where they came from, they could have all sorts of types of learning loss. And so we wanted to say, as an institution, let's go do some professional development that's centered on learning loss, because that's going to be specific to us and the students that are coming in. So institutional needs are going to be one thing. Those could also be cultural needs. If there's something going on in Charlotte, particularly, that we're looking at from a cultural standpoint, how do we equip our staff members and then ultimately our students to engage with that? Or maybe even that there's a particular focus that we want to look on. This year, part of our professional development is Walking Through the Fabric of Faithfulness by Stephen Garber, and we want to increase our intentional mentoring focus on campus. And so that would be an institutional need. We also have staff needs. So we've identified, as part of professional development plans, maybe that we have some staff members that really need to increase classroom management, or maybe they need to increase differentiation or understanding the different types of assessments and ways that we could equip them to serve their students well. And then lastly, what are student needs? And in some cases, we're looking even next year, can we roll out something that's going to put a very basic level of biblical counseling so that everybody on campus has got those core central ideas of how do I counsel a student, so that that's not just something that happens on our guidance counselors or our wellness team, but it's putting more hands on deck to where we've got more mentors that are pouring into students. And so you have to have a good pulse on your school culture, your staff culture, and your student culture, and how that all integrates and works together. And so that's how we do it here. As part of that school-based professional development, we let them do a staff choice. So that's going to align with their professional development plan. Then we do an institutional focus. For us, again, that was the Fabric of Faithfulness. And then we also did a biblical focus this year by going through some of the Colson Educator stuff.
Oh, that's great, Billy. I love the three bucket approach, institution, staff, and students. What a way to look at professional development. And it really targets what we're talking about today is that you're creating literally that culture of professional development by looking intently and intentionally at those three buckets. And that kind of leads us to our second question today, Billy. You know, knowing that professional development is most effective when it's continuous, rather than a one-time event. And you kind of were getting at this, I believe, but so how do you create ongoing opportunities for learning and skill building?
Yeah, so again, I think that's part of creating a culture, a growth mindset and learning. And, you know, we've got many folks that come from public schools, and in those public schools, it's here's a professional development day, and here's an 8-hour workshop that you hope is going to be relevant to your content area. And it might be, it may not be, but it's that one size fits all approach. And so what we've done to kind of combat that is, and I like to use the language of like formal professional development and an informal professional development. And let me explain what I mean by that. So as we've gone through the Colson Educator stuff, we have paced that out as I created the scope and sequence to where everybody's intended to go through 1 or 2 10-minute videos a week. And now we get together, like yesterday, we had a PD day to where we're going to discuss those at large. But what we want to do is create an ongoing dialogue to where this information is ever before them. I mean, it's psychology distributed practice, right? And so we want them to, as they watch these videos or they're engaging in webinars or whatever it might be, to take those formal instances and create those into informal conversations around lunch tables, around car lines. Hey, did you see that video that, you know, so-and-so recorded yesterday? Or did you see this? And hey, that applied in my classroom this way. And so now it's a culture to where these conversations are continually happening. It's not, here's a day on our calendar that professional development only occurs on this day. And so as you create a culture that you're in line with your staff needs and your student needs, then what happens is you continually to have that material in front of them, and they continue to see the relevance of that material as it relates to their content areas, towards mentoring students, towards job efficiency, like whatever it would be. And especially as we've done so much with worldview, how that they see worldview is not something that's just for high school students. It's for elementary school students. It's for math teachers. It's for across the board. And so you just have to keep it continually in front of them, pace it out so that it's manageable chunks, because we know as teachers, what do we not have a lot of? Time. And unfortunately, they look at teacher work days or professional development days as, well, I needed this time to catch up and to plan and to do all that. And unfortunately, if you don't dedicate some of that time and then dedicate some of that weekly time to where they're continually engaging in it, you're communicating that professional development is not important. And actually, especially when we look at our job as Christian educators, the amount of stuff that happens in our culture and the speed in which it's happening, we've got to continue to have biblically based professional development, worldview immersion in front of our students and in front of our teachers, so that this isn't something that comes off the shelf as an integrative approach every now and then. It's an immersive approach that's going to trickle down into all areas of your school culture. And so this is not just in academics. This will impact your athletics programs. It'll impact your administrative programs. It'll impact every area of your school, which at the end of the day, isn't that what we want with Christian schools? You step on campus and you understand this is a Christian school in that we're not just merely taking a Bible verse here or there. We're immersing everything in it. And so we've got the challenge as well to do not just the spiritual development, but the pedagogical development. And so as we have to teach learning strategies, and you've got new teachers coming on, you got old teachers that are going away and retiring and doing whatever, how do you continue to do that? Well, we don't want to make it a one-off experience. We want to take it as a culture in which this is just something that continues to happen.
Oh, yeah, I like that, Billy, a lot. I love the distinction you made between informal and formal. And then you looked at, you know, that creating, how do we create space for ongoing dialogue? I think that's so critical to not being one-off or being, or PD being developed in a way that we think it's for everybody when it needs to be a little more individualized and contextualized. So I love that ongoing dialogue that brings everybody into the conversation of growth. So that's great. Well, this kind of, you know, points us towards our next question. How do you create a supportive learning environment where individuals feel encouraged to take risks, to ask questions, and ultimately lean into that personal and professional growth that they desire and that we want as an organization?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. And here's kind of where things can go wrong. As an administrator, if you haven't been in the classroom for a while, you forget about what we want to do is create the same experiences that our teachers are creating for their students in the classroom. And so just some ways that we kind of think through that here. Number one, especially when it comes to professional development and you're looking at time, you need to establish trust. You have to have trust as the foundation that this is going to be worthwhile, that there's going to be open dialogue, that their contributions are going to be valued, but leaders and the facilitators need to demonstrate they're trustworthy, that they have empathy towards their learners. They understand, hey, there are other things that they would rather be doing right now because they are the things that are front and center in terms of I've got to get these things laminated for my classroom or whatever that was going to be. But these elements of professional development are front and center and crucial for us as an institution to meet our mission and vision. And so your team has to trust that what you're doing is going to meet that mission vision and it's going to be profitable. And this is something that's built up over a long period of time. And so you have to have a trust that's there, but you also have to have a safe learning environment. You know, we say this around here a lot. It's okay not to know. It's not okay to stay there. We don't have it all figured out as educators. We as students don't have it all figured out. But the problem is when we don't know what we don't know, or we know what we don't know, and we don't want to move from that. And so we want to create an environment where participants want to feel safe by asking questions. I mean, it's okay to make mistakes. Let's make mistakes in this area of professional development while we're together so we can fix those mistakes. Then we go outside of those areas into classrooms and we're not making those same mistakes again. Again, mentoring is so important here. And so we forget as educators a lot of time that failure is a natural part of the learning process, but failure is also an opportunity for growth. And so in some cases, knowing what you don't know is really, really good. So you can know those things and move on. But it creates a challenge because people, they don't want to feel like they don't know something, especially when it comes to biblically based PD. We have got to be very careful that we're not making people feel that their relationship with Christ is not vibrant and it's not good and strong because they may not know something that pertains to a biblical worldview or biblical education. That's okay if you don't know those, but let's move on and let's equip you. But that doesn't have anything to do with your spiritual life. We have to remember, as we make distinctions between worldview development and spiritual development, we can control worldview development to an extent. We can put webinars and articles and great speakers in front of people, but we can't spiritually develop people because that's a sanctification process brought about by the Holy Spirit. And so just because your worldview isn't developed does not mean that you don't have a vibrant relationship with Christ. And so there can be some of that, but we want to say, hey, look, this isn't indicative that you're not a good Christian who loves Jesus. There just may be things that you've not seen exposure to. And so let's move through that. And I think as part of that as well, we want to encourage a growth mindset. We want people to understand that intelligence and ability can be developed through hard work. Yeah, it's not easy. Seminary was not easy. But as I went through seminary, the marathon that seemed to be at times, as I went through seminary, I found myself learning and going, wait a minute, I didn't think I was going to know how to engage in these worldview conversations, but I feel more equipped to do that. And I don't know who said this, but we all know that nothing that's really worth anything is easy. And teaching is hard, and teaching students is hard, and learning is hard. But do you have an intrinsic desire to learn? Is this a calling for you, or is it just a job? And so all those things kind of pour into this idea of, you know, how do we create this culture that is a growth mindset? There has to be some accountability as well, but there's also some flexibility as well. When we look at professional development, I don't want to stand up and lecture. I don't have somebody else just come in and stand up and lecture, because just like the students in our classroom, the teachers, they have different learning styles.
That was great, Billy. You know, you mentioned trust. You mentioned just a safe learning environment. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about that phrase, failing forward, right? You know, just giving your staff permission to fail forward, to make the mistakes as they continue to grow in order to create a better product, a greater process for students to learn and grow themselves. What a great way to model, right? So just some great principles and strategies you're using there in your school. Much appreciation for sharing that. But we're kind of moving into our last question here. Recognizing that individuals have different approaches to learning, various grade levels, different subject matter, how do you offer a variety of learning opportunities, knowing about all these differences that teachers and staff had? And then if you want to add anything else that you think is important for developing a culture of PD, please do.
Yeah. So I think you have to have, you have to regularly solicit feedback from your learners. What you think might be working might actually not be working. And so you've got to figure out a way to get feedback from those that are engaged. And as a part of that, you hit the nail on the head in the question, like, how do we give these different opportunities? Well, we have to recognize, again, just like the students in our classrooms, people have different preferences in how they learn and they have different styles in how they learn. So you need to diversify the way that you provide instruction and the type of resources that you provide for your participants. So if you only give them webinars to watch and they are a kinesthetic learner, that's not going to land well with them. If you only hand them articles to read and there's no audio, that's not going to go well with them. So as we create things, what we want to do is we want to give them up moving around. We want them to apply those things because let's face it, a lot of the things that we're talking about, especially in the concept of biblical worldview development, are very abstract. They're very theoretical. And a lot of times teachers are going, how do I apply this in my classroom? I've got no frame of reference to do that. So not only do you want to differentiate that instruction and you want to give them some different scaffolded activities, but you want to mentor and you want to group people together. A lot of times we group people by proximity. Here's the Bible department. Here's the math department. But do we group them by tenure? Here are old teachers with some new teachers to provide some mentoring there. Do we group them by grade level? So maybe it's all the ninth grade teachers together because they're all teaching ninth grade. So they're understanding a little bit about the culture of the students that are in ninth grade. And so can we put them together instead of just saying, all right, math department, you guys are together today. And it's also going to create more of those informal opportunities because it might be in your school that the math department has lunch duty together on Tuesdays, but it might be you have people across the board that now can have those conversations at lunch that they wouldn't have had because of how we naturally group people. You also want to do a lot of experiential learning. And I mentioned this just a minute ago. How do we apply these theoretical concepts of worldview and these questions of reality and truth and goodness? How do we do that and make it so it actually is relevant in their classroom? So many teachers go, well, how is worldview applicable to math? Like that doesn't just make sense to me. Like I know we can get logic and God is logical, but what do we do to actually put those together? So as we do things at Hickory Grove is we want to give them not just you sit in a room and you listen to a presenter and you take some notes, but then you do something with it. So maybe it's a lesson plan that you've modified as an artifact. Maybe that you schedule a mentoring observation or something like that would partner up with all of those. So you take all those things together and you want to create this culture again where it's fostering continual development. We never want to get to the point to where we think that we've got it figured out because we don't. And the students are always a step ahead of us, especially as it relates to technology. So you want to think through how you integrate technology into your professional development offerings. Do you deliver it that way? Do you affirm it that way? What do you do? How do you look through this? And so one of the things that's really, really important in all of these, when you're looking at all four questions we talked about today, is administrators, we need to lead by example. And we need to share examples from our life about experiences we've had in which professional development was hard, when it was difficult, but it was worthwhile because here are the things that have happened at the end. And then we need to share with our staff members, what are the things that we're learning? Like, how is it not just that the administration is saying, hey, here's the PD that we're doing as a staff, but what books are we reading? What articles are we reading? What videos are we watching? How are we developing ourselves so that it's not administration versus everybody else? It's no, we're all in this together looking at how do we move through professional development, create a culture of continual learning, because if that's the culture we have among ourselves, then that's the culture we're going to expect from our students. And unfortunately, when we don't create that that growth mindset among ourselves, then we look at our students and go, why don't they have a desire to learn? Why don't? Because we're modeling those behaviors for them.
Oh, that's great, Bill. This has been wonderful, man. It's just been power packed full of strategies and principles. And, you know, some of my takeaways in this last question was, you know, some terms that stood out, feedback, you know, diversifying the options. I loved how you described how we can rethink the grouping of teachers as they do PD together and collaboratively. So that was wonderful. And then and just your final challenge, you know, how do we model a growth mindset? You know, how do we pass that on, because we're exemplifying it, and we're our students, our staff, our even our parents are seeing the growth that's taking place. So thank you for sharing today. Well, to you and to everybody, Billy, I just want to thank you so much for taking a pit stop with us around the flourishing construct of professional development, sharing ideas, research, and strategy. So a big thanks, Billy.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure. Hope to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Well, to all of our participants today, join us next time on the Flourishing Journey podcast as we consider a new construct, the construct of spiritual formation.
The Flourishing Journey is a presentation of the Association of Christian Schools International. Foster a flourishing school culture by visiting acsi.org/flourishing.